All right, and we are rolling.
What's going on, Ira?
Things are good. Brought to you by Spotify for podcasts for the last time, possibly.
We'll get another one, you know, post playoffs here before the June 2024 cutover. Apparently, our app that is, you know, used for recording and editing podcasts will no longer be available for recording and editing podcasts, Ira, just for audio upload. So now we'll have to find another way to go. Maybe this is the move to finally transition to a more professional recording setup, and then we can just upload via to this to quickly get our audio up onto you know, the podcaster web.
Yeah, I am a little concerned about if Spotify's trying to put this shit in. What's going to happen to the Ringer? I mean, if they start charging for podcast content there or something. That's gonna really change my listening entertainment.
I do feel that the days of free internet stuff is really coming to an end pretty rapidly here. You know, like, you know, soon all the streaming services will be like $25, you know, for each one, and you know, it's all coming crashing down. We had a good run. We had a good run, and in the time that we couldn't afford a lot of this stuff, so you know, not too bad. We had it okay. Sure. Had it okay, yes. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. You know, I come here with my bottle of wine. I tonight I'm drinking. I guess this is it now. I'm a wine during the podcast guy. I'm drinking the Cooper and Thief's red wine blend, aged 3 months in bourbon whiskey barrels. I think you might like this. It was almost a catastrophe. I cracked the cork in half as I was pulling it out, but I was able to salvage it. So
damn.
Yeah, it was you know, we broke a few months ago our like fancy like thing where you just kind of like put it around the bottleneck and go like 1-2. Do you remember that I had that? So now I'm like at the old school like hand corkscrew, and I'm fine with it, but I guess I kind of could tell this one's been in there for a while, and I guess I didn't go too smooth with it. So but it's salvaged, I think. I think much like my season, you know, even after it cracked, I'm kind of, you know, able to save some things for some scraps for the future here. And, you know, let's dig in a little bit. You want to do the fun stuff first? You want to do the top guys who no one really cares about first? Like, where do you want to go today, Ira?
I mean, to me, the fun part of the conversation, I think, will be talking about some of the trades we've seen happening. You know, I mean, we can talk about the top guys if you want to go that direction first.
No, let's talk about trades. You're right. I think this is the spot to go. I guess the real question is, where do we start? I think to set the stage, last podcast we kind of left off as a joke that like I was setting the trade market, and immediately followed that up. I assume you want to talk about this trade with Denk.
I mean, I was thinking about it. It's like, which I was trying to think like three worst trades. And I mean, even like picking the worst trade out of the season, there's some real top notch competitors between the Sengun trade with Denk, between what we saw Corey pull off with Justin. And then what was the other one? There was one more. Jesus.
I mean, you couldn't have been involved, right? There's no way.
What, my Jaren deal? I don't think my Jaren deal was in
that. I mean, just you could never possibly be involved in a bad trade, right?
In a horrendous deal like we saw out there? No, I don't think so. Oh, the other one was out. Oh, yes. The other one was yourself, Paul. The Jokic deal. So we have three nominees for, you know, like most disastrous trades out there on the landscape.
I think my Jokic trade has turned out to not be so disastrous. Like, you know, KD, he's had pretty solid health this season. He's played 51 games already. You know, he's a fine keeper. He may not be a long-term keeper like Jokic might be, but like he'll be serviceable for a season. I was able to transition some guys off my roster, you know, including Kyrie for some value. So like, look, I made a move to try to see if I could play for the season. I couldn't, and I pivoted. So, you know, I think it is helped by the next trade, which, definitely a very fair nominee, my Sengun trade with Dan. I mean, Ben Simmons, oof, he has not had a single good game since that trade. and I got a fifth round pick for him?
Well, yeah. I mean, I will say, I think my initial reaction, my mind kind of, as the day progressed, my mind did come around a bit to acknowledging, I think in past years, some managers would pay two draft picks for one player. So, like, if you look at it from that angle, you could argue, like, the Simmons part, you know, isn't really relevant, and that, you know, what was it? It wound up being like a...
He's a sweetener?
Well, yeah, I would just say, what were the picks that were exchanged in that one? A fourth and a fifth.
Yeah.
I mean, for Sengun. I guess you could argue Sengun is, you know, a top 30 maybe talent. I mean, I don't know. So maybe in that regard, it's not that horrendous, two picks for a player of that caliber. But nah, it's a stretch. And I would say the trade market this season has been pretty tough on the sellers. You know, we haven't seen a lot of like huge pick swaps taking place. So definitely not glorious, that's for sure.
I think what is happening now, and we talked about some of the effects of Conley. I think a lot of the buying managers are trying to save their low round picks for like the mother load. And then those trades don't really come to fruition as one would expect. You know, I think some of the selling managers didn't have that much. I probably had too much inventory, and I kind of like cleared out my bottom draft picks before I could unload all of them, unfortunately. So it takes a lot of creativity to kind of make a deal happen. Garrett had a trade on the table for me that I just thought like where I was going to get a third and a fourth and a fifth for my like 7, 8, 9 or something like that, or my 2, 8s and 9. And that was, but I had to give up Mitchell and I'd be getting back Towns as my keeper. And I was also giving him like Kuzma and somebody else. And like, okay. But like, to me, it wasn't enough value. Like I felt that Towns is kind of on the, like, whereas KD's had some injury issues, Towns has just had production issues over the last season and a half. So yeah, like, you know, not a huge seller's market this year. That said, like, I turned that trade down. Like, people should just turn trades down if they're not getting stuff. And, you know, Conley obviously helped with this. But at the end of the day, like, you know, the Justin Corey trade, like, well, the problem there is, like, Corey doesn't know what he has, I guess. Like, right? Like, to me, that one is the worst for that reason. Like, Dan, like, okay. Maybe he was, like, he got excited. He kind of saw the finish line. He saw the Ben Simmons trip. Like, they were not necessarily good reasons, but he had reasons for doing what he did with me.
He got an asset. Yeah. He has something at least.
I had reasons for doing what I did with Trevier. Corey, to me, it seems clear that he didn't understand what he was doing. So that, to me, is the worst trade of the season, far and away.
Yeah, I will say, like, I applaud, like, going back to how Conley and Quartz have changed the trade game, really. I appreciate when managers find, like, creative ways to work around the Conley Accords, like, traditional usage. Because, you know, there are opportunities to get creative. Well,
sure. But if one of those two managers had the realization that he's giving up arguably the better player who is a ninth-round keeper, like, maybe he wouldn't have done that trade.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, he could have kept Jaren Jackson in the second and been fine. But you could have kept him in the ninth and gotten, like, a, you know, someone who maybe like a third or fourth round guy, kept him in the second round, but you get the value out of Jaren Jackson in the ninth round. Like, you know, it's a trade-off thing. Corey understands fantasy sports. Like, from my understanding, he does pretty decently in your baseball league. Like, he...
No,
not so much anymore? Okay. So maybe he doesn't understand, you know, how it works. I think another example of, like, how we've been saying for years now that this third late keeper thing has been an advantage to people that pay attention. And I mean, prime example here of when he acquired him from you, like what was the expectation, you know, like we all thought he understood.
It doesn't make sense when you go, I mean, yeah, just in case we have listeners that don't remember all the facts here. I mean, originally I traded Jaren Jackson Jr. Corey for Jaylen Brown, Brandon Ingram, Keegan Murray. And I mean, Brown had been Corey's keeper for several years now. And then, I guess, what, a few weeks later, Corey spun Jaren Jackson Jr., who would be an eighth rounder, by the way, just in case Justin does come to his senses and chooses to keep him next season. because it'll be the second time he's being kept. He then traded away Jaren Jackson basically to get DeMar DeRozan. And so, he got so, like so, a so, so really the rounder.
So the trade there is Jaylen Brown. Who are the other two guys that he sent to you?
Brandon Ingram and Keegan Murray.
For DeMar DeRozan. Brandon Ingram is basically DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some similar stat sets. Just like Brandon Ingram's like a good 8 years younger than DeMar DeRozan, which is like what makes this trade so ridiculous that like he went from Jaylen Brown being a young man to like a very, very old keeper. Like, and I mean, you know, you give DeMar credit for father time.
And like, by the way, like there's a chance that DeMar is playing in China next year. He's a free agent at the end of the season. Like, he's going to be that guy that no one wants to pay like what he thinks he's worth. So like there's a very real chance the Bulls don't re-sign him, that like maybe he tries to go to the hometown Lakers on a discount. But if that doesn't happen, like, you know, he doesn't really fit in the modern NBA. Like, he's a good player. Everyone thinks he's a good player. But there's a chance that if no one's offering him $20 million a year, he may just say, fuck it, I'll go to China and get paid. You know, like I could see that happening, but that'd be a real twist.
I mean, really, at this point, he's like probably better used as like a sixth man somewhere. But like, I don't know why, DeMar would want to ever accept that kind of role unless he's like just trying to get a championship, you know?
Yeah.
Signs up to play like Jokic or something.
To me, you know, and John's been kind of pinging on this all season, probably behind the scenes about whether Corey should be in receivership or not, the same way Dan was a few seasons ago. And to me, this one kind of pushes it over the edge. I kind of thought it was. He was not setting his lineups, but like whatever. Like now, the combination of that and this trade, that like he clearly doesn't know what's happening. Like he may need some protection from himself, the same way Dan did a few years ago.
Yeah, that is a good way of framing it. I mean, what for Dan? Did we say when he was under 400, like he couldn't trade or something? I forget what it was.
Well, I don't remember if he couldn't trade or we had to like approve all of his trades.
We voted on his trades. I feel like he just like got scared and then stopped trading after he went into the
And by the way, that helped him turn around his team to some degree. Like going a whole year without making stupid decisions, like quite helpful and effective.
I forgot how even Dan. I feel like Dan wasn't managing and that's why he got to that point. Like with Corey, like he has really a history of making like, I mean, he's made bad deals, but like
he's made a lot of like, and it's not every year. But like he has had several deals adjust into the years where you're just like, what's happening here? Like he seems, for all the joking we do about like Justin badgering people about trades, Justin, and relax, I know you're listening to this, Justin. We know you listen. We love that you listen. You're probably our best listener, okay? So we're going to pat you on the head there for that one. But like, let's talk about this. Justin like really thinks that like I made up some narrative that like people, and now people won't trade with him. Like, I didn't make up this narrative, correct? Like, this has been a well-discussed thing by everybody in the league for many years. That Justin badgers people.
I think the badgering, yeah, that's got to be like at least a couple of years that I think people realize that's his tactic. And
we've been making fun of Corey for years that Corey can't resist Justin because he wants to stop getting badgered. This has been a joke for years, but in this case, like, he's better off just saying like, I'm not going to trade with you and protect myself. Or like, hell, Corey, text somebody else who's not involved. Text me and be like, hey, am I getting ripped off here? Am I missing? Like rely on your friends. Like, we're not going to be like, yeah, do this trade and help Justin and fuck yourself over. Like, no one's going to do that. Like that's fine too. Like, I don't know, man. Like it's, but like good for Justin. Like it sounds like Justin even really convinced him that hard. You didn't have to do much. Like, Justin does what he did to all of us, where you're like, he's just like, oh yeah, like you keep DeMar, and like Justin obviously would never keep DeMar in 1,000 years, but like he convinced Corey that he could keep him. Like, that's not Justin's fault.
No, he definitely exploited some ignorance on Corey's end. I will say, we'll see who Justin wants to keep next year, but I'm not really sure that Jaren's going to help so much this year anyway. I'm not really sure Buddy Hield in Philly with a. You know, that roster, well, Melton was going to come back, and now Melton's out again, but I wouldn't say that he's in a, you know, going to be a stud in Philadelphia either. So, in terms of value, there isn't that much here, really, but still a good deal. I mean, he's getting three bites of the apple. Zubac, the other player, and he's at least rosterable if you're, I don't know, could be a drop when the playoffs start, but, you know, he could become something, a key piece, because, I don't know, Clippers seem to play well with him at the five.
In fact, I think you just kind of, with Hield and Zubac, it's kind of two opposite situations, right? With Zubac, I think it's, he's going to play a lot in the regular season because he's a super effective regular season player in that offense. Come playoff time, who knows what happens to his role, right? As you know, you go smaller and it's harder to play center sometimes, unless you're playing Jokic. And then with Hield, I think like Buddy's going to play a lot in the playoffs, right? Just because like his body type, his shooting, that all becomes more important in the playoffs. And I think that will be the case, but like in the regular season, they're going to play Nick Batum. They're going to play, you know, like they have a bunch of guys. So like to your point, yeah, I think they're, you know, the Zubac thing helps Justin, the Hield not so much.
Yeah, so we'll see, but definitely, I think it's been a fun trade landscape. Like, it kind of like, it seemed like it was whimpering out a bit, but then like down the stretch, it picked back up with like a little late surge. I mean, we saw basically every manager who, well, I guess there was a big, the bottom managers all got involved, and like there was like the middle that kind of oddly, like the, you know, the Garretts and Johns of the world that didn't want to take a swing either way. But, you know, we saw Eric get pick up pieces. Duran got moving down the stretch and seemed a little more reasonable than I think he's been past deadlines.
I agree with that, actually. I thought that was good flexibility by Duran. I was pretty impressed by like his willingness to make moves. I do think Duran's moved up an echelon. Like, I think he hung on kind of to the last minute, and then like he got value and didn't just like hold on to guys for no reason or give for too little. I think he did a good job.
Yeah, no, I think, those kinds of little things definitely give you an edge next season. And I mean, you know, those first couple of months when other teams are struggling is when the draft picks really pay off. But yeah, I mean, Duran came out with an extra fifth, an extra seventh rounder. And, you know, I definitely hat tip to, I think Andrew made the right decision, giving up on Desmond Bane. You know, it's he's trying to win a title. I mean, Bane's a good keeper. I mean, I think he might only be a ninth next year now. I don't know, something like that. But
And he acquired Jamal Murray, who's a late round keeper as well.
Yeah, I think Murray's going to be like probably like a sixth next season. So
I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, yeah, that's still pretty good.
It's all right.
Looking at his roster, I mean, he has a lot of top guys. I mean, was Beal late? Actually, I don't. I mean, he has a lot of like.
All his picks are in the middle.
Yeah. He has a lot of first two keeper options.
You gotta feel mine.
I mean, if I'm Andrew, I might just go 1, 2, 3 on the keeps. If he still has his third pick.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't really have a good late option. I don't even know if. I mean, he's kind of stuck with LaMelo now, which is I don't know. I would want to keep that guy again, but I guess
he's going to keep Wembanyama,
right? Oh yeah, of course, Wemby.
Where did Darius Garland go in the draft?
Probably like the fourth round. You know, all these guys are early round picks. I don't think he has anybody late. Podzemski, I don't think he's going to be a keeper.
Yeah, he's a lot of like fourth round value ish guys.
I agree with you. He's probably going 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Unless he goes like Jamal in like whatever, the sixth round, which I guess you could do. But Jamal's missed a fair amount of games this season, too, just like recovering from whatever surgery he had a couple years ago. So I don't know. He's got Wemby. He's got, I mean, Devin Booker, you can easily keep in the third round and not feel bad about it. So, yeah. Kyrie's here. I mean, the roster's got plenty of top end talent to go 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess sure. We might as well talk about Wemby now. I mean, the guy. It's gonna be kind of lame if like the first season he comes in the league, Wemby wins the championship for Andrew. Because like, I mean, Andrew's team's like gonna. He's easily making in the playoffs, you know, for the next 10 years now, unless he decides not to, like. I mean, this guy's just going to go for like, he's going to go for 2.5 steals and 2.5 blocks every season, probably.
I think 2.5 is extremely low. He's averaging 3.3 right now. In his in his last six games, he's had 10 blocks, 3, 5, 5, and 4. I mean, geez. Like, I mean, like, what do you do with that? I mean, the guy might average 5 blocks a game at some point.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have to imagine players will kind of realize like they should just stop bothering to like go up against him. Like they're not going to like, he's not going to get like intimidated and like clearly he can block shots. It's like, he's proven it. Yeah, from a fantasy perspective, it's like, you know, how high does the scoring get? Like the three pointers, the field goal percentage. But like, I mean, he already has like a top 20 floor. So I mean, you know, he's
his season rank is 7.
Is he 7?
Yeah.
Is he 11? Oh yeah, 7 for total, 11 for average stats. Yeah,
pretty damn good for a rookie.
Yeah.
No, and you know, yeah. and you know how it goes. The turnovers only go down over time. So like, you know, like Jesus. I mean, this guy's gonna be incredible. And it still almost feels like they've limited what he does on offense a little bit. Again, well, picking up over the last.
He's playing like perimeter all the time. It's ridiculous. I mean, like, I don't know. You see highlights where he's just showing up, dribbling moves, and like does a fadeaway 3-pointer. I mean, it's like, you know, it's stupid right now. Like. Eventually, when the Spurs want to win, they'll tell him to get down low. I mean, just, you know, basically just be like AD out there. I mean, that's like AD with like 3-pointers mixed in. That should be like his, I don't know, his style, I think.
It is funny. Like, and I think it's good, actually. I think Wemby's presence is going to like eliminate all of the Anthony Davis like discourse, like that Anthony Davis is good. Like, or like, like a Hall of, like, Anthony Davis is not a Hall of Famer in my mind. He like came in with a Hall of Fame reputation.
The stats are there. Come on.
Yeah, but he's not good. He doesn't impact winning at all.
I disagree. The defensive contributions, I mean, he's like a top 5 defender in the league, like without question.
He's afraid to play center, but okay.
Yeah, he plays center for the Lakers now. That's not true. He didn't want to. I feel like every player doesn't want to play. Yeah, they all want to shrink down for whatever reason.
Even Tim Duncan didn't want to play center, right? I mean, I guess that's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he started, David Robinson was playing center for him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, Andrews seems definitely seems to be turning on at the right time. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the final few weeks play out. Like, definitely like there's some better teams than the rest, but no super team. Not clear who's taking this. And yeah, so Justin Andrew up there. Obviously, I made a lot of moves. Dan's still in the 2-seed conversation. So, I mean. Probably gonna be Andrew at the 2-seed, but never know. Dan surprised us all year.
It is funny looking on paper. Like Andrew's team looks so much better on paper than Justin's team, but like Justin's team is chugging along, man. Like that team just keeps going.
Agreed. Yeah, I feel like Scotty Barnes is really the perfect player to represent Justin's squad. Just like I don't know, just a very like, is this guy actually good? Like, is he just stat packing? And like, yeah, the product is there. He's got a nice role in Toronto now. I mean, yeah, he's got me some bonus. Has been going nuts. 8.5 assists now for the season. So, I mean, the guy's nearly averaging triple-double. Meanwhile, like the Kings, you know, will never be a good team as long as Sabonis is their center. So, just kind of funny. Yeah, Justin's definitely put together like a little afterthought roster of fantasy players.
See, Sabonis is a guy that like you almost – like it's just so weird because he's not a rim protector, right? And like – if you could be as point forwardy as we want, but if you can't protect the rim, you're not really gonna win a championship. Like Jokic, for all like the jokes about his athleticism, he's actually a pretty damn good defender at the end of the day, right? And like he's a smart defender and puts himself in spots, but like it just seems like Sabonis is not at that level on defense. So yeah, like it's almost like the Kings are at the ceiling of what a Sabonis led team can be.
Yeah, round 2, I'd say, is about as far as you get with that kind of philosophy.
I would agree with you there. I would agree.
Yeah, but no, it's but yeah, Justin made his moves. He picked up Mikal Bridges also. You know, he made a trade with Eric, I think, to bring in, you know, like he got Siakam off him. He brought in, who's the other one that he picked up? I don't know. He got one more name. I guess maybe it was Bridges also was the other one in that deal. So, yeah, Justin's loaded, but not unstoppable either. But, you know, he's been rolling through the whole season. He's got the 1 seed locked up already. So, I don't know. We'll see. It's not clear who's going to be the 3-4 even between myself and Dan. So, it's kind of a – doesn't make too much of a difference. But, yeah, but, that's like your top two.
I guess let's look at the schedules, like, for the rest of the season here, right? Like, Justin has Corey, John, and you. To finish out, you have obviously Justin, myself, and Eric. So that's a pretty soft schedule.
Garrett,
Tatum Tots. Yeah, that's right. And then Dan has Duran, myself, and Garrett. And then who am I missing? Andrew.
Andy's got Trevier, Duran, and Paul.
So Andrew, I think, is pretty solid. You know, he should lock up a top two spot. Yeah. I think Justin's probably pretty good too.
It's six games, yeah. Justin will be one, Andrew's two, and then Dan and myself fall into 3-4, however it is. And then the 5-6-7 is a whole mess. We have a live podcast watch happening right now. Let's see. Levy's lineups are not set yet.
And he's down 2-6.
9 o'clock.
And he's down 2-6 to Eric.
Actually, Fox is out tonight. I take it back. So the only person who can play tonight is Kawhi. But currently out of the lineup for a 10 o'clock start time.
Jesus Christ.
The fantasy gods are watching. This is definitely.
And by the way, after an invigorating 8-1 win against Trevier last week, you'd think he'd. Does he not remember that you could get playoff odds coming in sixth place?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. The guy made a move to get in the playoffs. He brought in Trae Young, who's now out for a month, and I think with Trae, when Levy's entire motivation here to close out the season.
It's rough. He has two easy matchups with Eric and Corey. And then it's basically a pick'em week. John has a harder schedule. He has Garrett. And Levy, who are both, in those contention spots, and Justin. So, John, usually we're bitching that John has the easiest schedule, but he actually had a tough one after 2 weeks in a row where he 9-0'd Duran, and then he beat me 6-3 after being down 5-4 in the middle of Sunday. And then we said already Garrett has Dan, Ira, and John. So, Levy has the easiest schedule of the three teams. He's not setting his lineup. It's crazy.
Very strange. And already down 6-3. Eric's got Luka, who's still going nuts. He has Halliburton, obviously. So, even in a post-trade world, Eric's still a kind of roster where you have to be a little wary.
His team gets hot, for sure. His team gets hot.
Yeah, and Levy was already operating down this week. So if he loses to Eric, I don't know if he's going to be able to pull
this off. I think that's it. He's not going to go out there and 8-1 Corey, I don't think. Though I guess everyone kind of 8-1s Corey. So maybe I'm giving Corey too much credit here. Let's see. Does everyone 8-1 Corey? Let's see. He's only been 8-1 four times this season.
Only four times.
Andrew, myself, and Garrett. Though two of those have been the last 2 weeks. Three of them. Did I miss one? He has three 8-1 losses in the last four matchups.
Yeah, it's that time of the year,
Yeah.
Yeah. He got two wins on the board this season, so it's that's something, I guess.
and this is why we need schedule realignment, because the those 8-1s in those late weeks to playoff contending teams is rough.
Yeah, that is, it'll be interesting. We kind of lined it up. We thought Levy was going to jump these guys, but now if Garrett and John, do a Johnny in results, 5-4.
And actually, by the way, John is the only one of those three managers to not have Corey in the second half of the season.
I suppose so. Well, week 11 technically the second half, but yeah. But you mean second go around? Yes. He gets no extra Corey matchup or correct. Eric. Tough break. We'll see. I guess if Justin could whoop John, that'll be something. But, Garrett's got the toughest schedule. Going up against John, myself, and Dan is definitely not a cakewalk.
Nope.
Interesting to see.
Garrett has a lot of confidence in his team. So, maybe his team will kind of play like that these last few weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. He said his model has been beating everybody besides my team. So, it's a lot of confidence. He thinks he can take down Justin and Andrew right now. Garrett and John have just been watching all season. I guess I kind of understand why John didn't want to buy, considering the kind of closing schedule he has to go up against. But, and plus John's team, isn't that good. Let's be honest. It's kind of the same sort of squad he rolls out every year where he's good at some things, but not nearly enough to be a playoff threat.
John talked a big game at All-Star Saturday, saying he was going to trade Dame and a third pick for who was it? Donovan for KD on my team, I think it was. And he quickly reneged on that the next day. that didn't really have what it took to win this season, in my opinion. But he has Chet for going forward. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, John's already won the next 3 years. Yes, Chet. You know, I think that's going to be his go-to line for the time being, I think.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you know, I think he needs a rethink on the strategy, John. But
yeah, well, you know, he finally got the Dame Steph combo, and you know, I think we're seeing both of them starting to, you know, turn the corner a little bit. Yeah, I mean, at least we'll see if they have a big surge on the stretch. But you know, Steph's at 17th for average stats, even by his standards. You know, that's a slip, and you know, Dame's had a weird year. I don't know if it's a divorce or the new Milwaukee environment, but
It's really sad reading about Dame. He's like talking about how he's lonely in Milwaukee now. Like, oh boy, like not easy, man, not easy.
I'm sure there's plenty of people in Milwaukee who are happy to keep him warm. You know, it's
that's probably true. That's probably true. He's got to be careful though.
Yeah, I had to do some Googling to remind myself. I was looking, you shared that video with me about, was it Lala Anthony? Or, like, she's not an Anthony anymore. Carmelo's son. That video of them talking about.
Are they still married? They're still married.
I don't think they are. I Googled it. They're not married. That's why I was like, oh, she's so nice to Carmelo in the video. But, no, they got divorced a few years ago now. But I Googled it. There's a lot of articles out there. I don't know. There was some quote about, like, every couple I know isn't happy who's married, she was saying. Oh, but they're amicable terms, you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
She said once they left Denver for New York, I think that was the turning point. I saw one Google's headline of the article.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's kind of turning point for the Knicks too, so, you know, feel their pain. All right. Anyway, I will say, I guess I'll put my predictions down. I do think Levy pulls it out, and I'm also going to throw my lot behind John. History's on his side. You know, I think schedule's on his side. So, yeah. I mean, Garrett's managing right now, but I don't see it playing out for him making the playoffs.
I'm going Garrett and John. I don't trust Levy. I'm not texting him that he didn't set his lineup today.
I don't text nobody that they don't set their lineup. That's their own problem.
No. He's going to make his bed. He, to go this far and try and then, like, to fuck it up. Like, come on, man. Like, hit the button. Hit the set lineup button. Like, Kawhi should never be on your bench in 2024. Like, you know?
It's we got crazy. An hour to go. And we got an hour to go. Maybe the smack talk will reach him somehow.
Yeah, maybe so.
But, yeah, definitely. I'm confident versus any of these teams, but – I was less excited to have to face Levy with Trey on his roster. If Trey's not going to be in the conversation, that team's definitely looking a lot more like a John or Garrett level entity instead of being something a little more impressive.
Yeah, and Levy doesn't playoff manage well. We know this. Like, Levy's done well in the playoffs where he's had like completely loaded rosters, which hasn't been in like almost a decade now, which is kind of crazy. But because he used to have those teams like every other year that like were really truly stacked.
And they faced me, but you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. They get spreadsheeted to death.
Nah, just now manage, man. I find the angles. I see what you're good at, and I find the weakness.
I mean, no disparaging anything by referencing the spreadsheet. I think the spreadsheet is a work of art. You know, so that is you managing. The spreadsheet is you managing.
Okay, the schedule certainly matters. It's definitely part of any successful team's equation.
This goatee actually is pretty good, Ira. Like, what happened? Like, usually you can't actually grow it in full. Are your hormones changing post-pregnancy?
I'm a father now. You know how it is. You know, things are surging.
Yeah, like, it actually looks like an actual full goatee. It's all one color, I think, at least from my camera angle.
There's a little bit of gray in there, but, you know, what do you
get? Oh, we all have a little gray now. That's you know, but it's not like you used to get like the orange going on. I remember.
I don't think I get that kind of coloring anymore. You know?
Yeah.
It's a lot more shine up here. But yeah, I just got a fresh haircut too. So, you know, that helps on the top, I think.
Oh, I got a haircut today too. And I roll up and they're like, oh, you're gonna be at this chair. I'm like, oh, I'm with Raul. And they're like, oh, Raul's no longer with us. And I'm like, God damn it. No one called to tell me that. Like, the guy, my barber is not my barber anymore.
Sorry, so I
text a buddy of mine, and I'm like, "Hey, you hear Raul's gone?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I thought I told you." I'm like, I spent 2 hours with this guy on Sunday. We were at the golf cave and didn't come up once. I would have really liked the heads up that, you know, that he was no longer there. That's pretty, like, that, you know, pretty terrifying. Walking in blind. Don't like
it. Yeah, I mean, your haircut's not too complicated. So I feel
It is. It is, because my hair is very puffy and, like, I do a scissor cut. So they all don't know how to do it. Like, this guy didn't do a good job.
No. Well, did you give him some feedback while you're in the chair? You just
I keep it to myself, and then I try to find someone else for the next time. You know.
All right. So you believe like, in the establishment, or what's the move?
No, I may try to find someone else at the establishment because I like the establishment. The thing is, like, if someone's close, I will give them the feedback, like, "Hey, like this." But it was like it felt at the time like it looked so bad, and I'm like, "It's not even worth it," because it's all like. Also, this guy was super strange. He was wearing like rubber gloves, like latex gloves, and he was wearing like a vest. Like, think of like it looked like a
utility vest or whatever,
like a utility bulletproof vest kind of thing that had all of his like different scissors and blades and stuff in it. I've never seen that before.
It's a little intense, but yeah,
it was very odd. The other touch. This was a nice touch. He had a massage chair. Like, he had, like, massage chair pads on the chair. So at the end of the thing, he, like, gives it the hot towel, and he, like, tips the chair back, and he puts the massager on. I'm like, oh, okay, like, that I like. That's a that's a power move right there. But the gloves and the utility belt were a very strange combination.
Germaphobe, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say.
It's possible. It's possible.
Interesting. I will say, my barber today, you know, he's by the door, and he's a friendly guy, which is all well and good. But, you know, it's like multiple guys came in that I guess, you know, he has whatever good relations with. And, you know, he's going for the high five. It's like, yeah, you really need to, like, you know, dap these guys up and then go right back to my head. You know, it's a little, I don't know. I prefer a little, like, you know, whatever. Keep a little distance. Yeah, they'll understand. But
keep away. See, now I'm not. Now you lost me. The issue, you're concerned about the germs of him high-fiving them during your haircut, or you're concerned that he's not focusing on your haircut?
No, the germs of – yes. I'm not interested in the other hand germs coming to my barber's hand as it then goes to my head, you know?
Oh, interesting. That would never cross my mind. I'm the least germophobic person on the planet probably. So, yeah, that never crossed my mind. To me, it's a bigger issue. Like, we used to go to this place – I don't know if you ever went – it was Mr. L's in Hoboken. It was on, like, 6th and Park.
Nah.
And, like, the guy who ran the shop – sat on like the leftmost chair, which is like kind of the closest by the door. And it was like everyone would come in, would say hi, he'd stop, he'd go talk for him. I'm like, and then you like leave the chair and you're like, he didn't fucking pay, like he messed something up, or like it was never like exactly how it should be. Whereas like there's another guy that was like 90 years old and paid fucking attention the entire time and would give you a perfect haircut. It's like, I don't want you stopping mid haircut to, you know, sign for packages and do 18 other things. Like when I'm in the chair,
yeah.
Please focus on me. That's my issue with what your guy did. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah, it was like a quick hello. It wasn't like.
Do you think I need to leave the barbershop now?
I don't know.
I have that experience too, where like, you know, it's not the kind of people generally at that place sign up for a specific person. So it's a tough move to like have someone and then go to someone else. It's like that Seinfeld episode where, you know, he pivots to Enzo or whatever like that, you know, like because his guy always leaves him that looking like a little boy, which is how I feel after this haircut today. yeah, I think basically I was referred to this guy by some other people that I was explaining my hair problem. They also moved from Hoboken. I was like, I can't find anyone to do this. And he's like, I go to this guy, and he was great. So now I'm going to see who these people have.
I think you're good to jump. You've only had one cut with this guy. And plus,
I didn't sign up for it. Yeah.
You're completely within reason to jump. Like, yeah. I'm ready to kind of jump because I feel like I have to wait a lot. And, like, when I get there for my on-time appointment. So, like, I'm – but, like, for me to jump, it's just, like, I don't know. It's just going to cost too much tension in the spot. So, I don't know. I am where I am. My haircut's basic. It's fine.
Is it the place downstairs from you or no?
Yeah, the place that used to be downstairs from me. I still go there. Mark Daniels.
Oh, right. You moved. Duh. Okay.
Yeah. It's a 15-minute walk. So, you know, it's still convenient for me. But yeah, I mean, you know, prices keep going up. I mean, what's your barbershop go for a haircut?
Well, it's 45, but I get, again, it's a scissor cut, so I don't mind paying for it if it's going to be correct.
45, okay. Man, that is pricey. It's a barbershop? Jeez.
It's a barbershop, but it's like, you know, it's a little bit nicer, I'd say. Like, what is yours? Probably like 30?
They upped it again recently. So, I mean, I do a buzz, and that's 35. So, I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like $10 more, and I'm like, no offense, but like, my hair's a lot more complicated than yours. Like, right? Like, there's things they have to do to it. Like, it has to be even.
I know.
Like, yeah, if I were you and I was being charged $35 a haircut, I'd probably be pretty annoyed. Like, you know, you're going from a one to a zero, basically, whenever you go in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll make the leap one day. Not yet. I have to look good for Kristen. You know how it is. Trying to remember how it was, you know. Like, I still got it.
Yeah, no, I get it. You meant to shave for that event, though.
You think so? We
should get shaves for that, for Kristen. That'd be good. That'd be fun. I haven't got a shave in a long time.
Since I don't think I've ever gotten a shave, so yeah, there you go.
You didn't do it before my wedding?
Nah. No shave for me.
You were there, though. Right? Didn't you come?
For shaves? I don't think so.
Didn't we do that before my wedding? I'm fairly certain we did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we all went to the... Yes, we definitely did, because Saul was there. Yeah, we definitely went for shaves in the morning.
I think I came later, maybe. I don't know.
Were you not living here at the time?
I might not have stayed at the hotel the night before, maybe.
Okay. That's forever ago now. I don't really remember that detail. We definitely went to the barbershop in the morning now.
I'm pretty sure I met you all there at the temple that day. I don't think I got the shave. But I guess I haven't shaved, so what was I supposed to go for a shave for?
Fair enough. I love it. It's great. It's like a face. We're running out of content here. I'm looking at the rundown. We're almost done here, Ira. I mean, we're at 42 minutes. We can talk about this for a minute here. No one minds.
All right.
The thing that's nice about shaving is it's not the shaving part. Well, you will get the cleanest feeling face that you ever have. You'll feel like a baby's bottom on your face. But it's like they massage like the oils and stuff into your face and like several layers of this. It's like a 20-minute process, the whole thing. It's really nice. So I know some people are afraid of the straight razor, but like, I don't know, the creams and the oils and the heat and the cold, it all feels very good. It's very relaxing.
It's both heat and cold?
At different times, yeah. Where they use like a hot towel and they use like different, like, then they'll use cream usually that's like a menthol, so it'll kind of like burn a little bit. And then, like, it's just the whole thing's great. It's very relaxed. It's soothing. You breathe it in and it clears everything up. The whole thing's great. It's a great experience.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do this the morning after, Kristen. Maybe that's the move. Since Amy's probably going to want to sleep in and I'll be in Hoboken, so it's easy to get one. Yeah, this is the move.
It'll pick you up. Yeah. No, my one special haircut experience was when I was down in DC for the summer at some point. I went to like a Korean barber or whatever haircut establishment, and then at the end they give you a nice scalp massage once they were done with the haircut. That was I didn't know it was coming, so I was a little taken aback at first, but I came around quickly.
Scalp massage. I've had places where they do like a light shoulder massage. The current one. And I really don't like this. Like I should just reject it. They do like a hand massage, which I find to be very creepy. Like a girl comes over and like she's like stick your hands out, and they like oil your hand and like this. It's like gross to me. I feel it's like
slimy. You're gonna go out of service for your $45. That's something. Okay.
A scalp massage is a good one though. I've had that too. This is in DC or in College Park?
In DC. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was nice. It was in Virginia at the time.
When Leanna was in College Park, you never went to Today's Hair?
No, I did not make my way around to
They were Korean. That was great. I actually, at Silver's bachelor party, one of his friends is from College Park. Like his dad was a professor or something. And that's where he got his haircut. So we reminisced about that place. That place was the fastest haircut. They would go like, it was crazy.
One of those.
Yeah, but they did a great job. It was always good. It was a good haircut. good
stuff. That's fair.
You know, finding the college barbershop is pretty hard to do. Like, because, you know, you either go to a place often that you can't get into, or, you know, it's not good. It's pretty tough, but it's a good place.
You think college barbershops are more of a thing? Like, I feel like, dudes, like, would be more into that, or, like, you know, if they had, like, more of, like, a drinking culture like the Mark Daniels guys have, you know? I think a barbershop could do bad business.
Yeah, but see, they can't offer that on a college campus because they know what's going to happen. They know 19-year-olds are going to start taking it, and, you know, they're going to shut down by the cops for no reason. And,
true.
You know, someone's going to...
It's a lot better than a restaurant, though, because, like, a haircut, people could be like, yeah, I'll pay for a haircut. And, like, you know, then you have, like, the proper revenue coming in to allow the alcohol sales to occur.
But then you have slobs like you who go there like, oh, I'll have, like, four drinks. Perfect. Like, you know?
Well, what's the issue? It's also, I'll be happy with my haircut. I won't have any complaints, I'm sure, you know.
So, wait. This is all good Hoboken pivot conversation to our next topics anyway. But I think I've told this story before, probably not on the podcast, but probably one of the more pricey haircuts I got. Like, there was a time I was going somewhere in Hoboken and it wasn't coming out good a few times in a row. And Amy's like, please go to my person. Oh, you definitely know the story. Because the person was Michelle, who did Leanna's hair for your wedding.
Yeah, I've definitely heard the story, but I don't recall what happened.
I think her name is Michelle. I could be
blanking. I think you're right.
So I go there the first time and I'm like a little hesitant. It's like a girly salon. But she cuts my hair and it was like a great haircut. The first, I'm like, okay, this is a great haircut. It's worth the money to look good. Fine. Second time I go back, she's like, oh, you want a drink? Sure. It was like, I always was going on Fridays and they're like, oh, champagne. Well, yeah, sure. Fine. Another good haircut. The third haircut, things took a turn. It was getting shorter and shorter. Like, despite me saying I didn't want it too short. She seemed pretty drunk while cutting the hair. And the fourth time was like off the rails. So I'm like, all right, like I can't be paying a lot of money for someone to be like drunk hair cutting my hair. That's no good. But so then I stopped that. There's got to be a balance, Ira. There's got to be a balance. Anyway, so speaking of Hoboken, we got a few Hoboken events, one in the past, one of them coming up. All-Star Saturday, winners and losers. Why don't you start us off here?
All right. All-Star Saturday, winners and losers. I think your performance kind of goes both ways, Paul. I don't know. Like, are we calling you? I feel like you're still a loser in the grand scheme of things, considering, you know, you didn't plan on showing up to the event. You know, you kind of backdoored your way into the festivities. It's a bit of a loser.
See, this is your problem. You can't enjoy anything, right? Like, be happy my flight got canceled and I was able to go. Like, I had a good time. I participated. I was chugging the beers. Like, well, stop complaining. Just enjoy something for once.
This is the second on the rundown. I got to give an honest assessment. You know, you tried to bail on the event. Would have been a third time. That would have been ugly. But
it's wrong because a winner and a loser is defined at the event. You can't define me as a loser for having almost not gone to the event. It doesn't make any sense. We're doing a monitor check-in right now.
Yeah, well, listen, I got figured. Maybe we'll see. We'll give this 30 seconds.
Where's Leanna tonight?
Getting her global finally our global entry done.
Oh, Mazel Tov. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a moment. I mean, I'll try and let the snoo resolve this. I'll give it a little in the juice.
Well, I mean, we can start in parenting corner if you want to. Give it more than a minute. I mean, come on. Let the kid learn to put himself back to sleep.
We started doing a few naps in the crib, actually. So that was a plus.
Yeah.
He's got to learn to put himself.
Back to sleep. He's over 3 months now. You can do it. He's fine. I'm serious.
No, I agree. No, I wouldn't go in there just from that. But it's also you can just like do a little pacifier insert, you know, and like that's easy solution.
Fair. Fair.
He went through a phase where he was like rejecting the pacifier, and now it seems like he realized, like, you know, pacifier is my friend. Anyway, he's quieted down.
So. All right, so I think I'm a winner of All-Star Saturday. I won the 3-on-3 competition. I came in second in the 2-on-2 competition, despite my partner not really holding his weight and chugging Trevier. And
he actually chugged, didn't he? That was for Trevier. That was
I chugged the majority of the first and third cup.
Did you? Yeah. I feel like there's been like multiple years where like your teams like couldn't even get the cup down. I don't know how that didn't happen at all.
What do you mean?
I feel like there's been occasions where like your team, like maybe there's like a you and John squad or something.
Because
like,
you make this shit up in your head, Ira.
I don't make up the events.
You do. You do. Also, I legitimately hit every single long cup for my teams.
That's something, yeah. Yeah, you can take that one.
And like, nice. And in pretty solid timing, I'd say in all those cases. So
yeah, I would say that's a winner right there. I'd say a group time. I mean, the amount of talent we saw on the table this year was probably the best we've seen in several years since like back in Garrett's old place in Hoboken.
Yeah, look, I do think All Star, like historically, has been better when there's approximately like 9 or fewer people. Like when it's too big, people don't care. People like. You need to be like around the table, you know, like if it's too many teams, like, and people can like float around, it doesn't work as well. I think we had the perfect amount of people this Saturday.
Well, I guess we'll say format wise, we debuted a new style of play this time around with, we ended up with 8, right? I think that was what we had. So
yeah, we had twos.
We decided to go 4 teams to 2, which made for a fun format. We just did, you know, 2 time trial rounds. And best 2 squads advanced to the final. Still did the full cup. Everyone seemed to accept that and, made it work. And the underdog squads made the final. And the biggest underdog won the event. So, we saw Andy and Jared take on the championship.
I don't see – this is – again, you misunderstand Shooting Stars. To me, the teams –
I misunderstand, Paul. Come on.
Because it's not about chugging. It's about who can hit the long cup. That's what the whole game is about.
You're telling me were the favorites? They weren't the last.
I'd say Andrew's probably the best long range shooter there. I happened to be that night. Trevier's fault. Trevier's probably the bottom drinker in our entire group now. Let's be honest. Like, drinker drinking games. He's a pretty low pick, in my opinion, these days. But he was fine.
That's fair. Well, he's definitely gone down. I don't know. I would say you and John are two of the lower chuggers, I'd say, in the end.
But again, the chugging's not that important. And I chugged fairly well. Like, it wasn't a problem. And John, despite being a normal slow drinker, is a fine chugger. I will back him up on that.
Yeah, I think he's no stomach capacity. But, all right. I don't know. I would say Jared's ever
going to be. I still think you overrate yourself in this game. You never win anything. You're always on the bottom.
I won when I had like Andrew and Aaron on my team. Aaron comes, you know, that's how it goes, you know, just
but you are.
I wouldn't say Andrew's been a huge threat in this game. I wouldn't say anybody is particularly that good at this game. Besides Aaron.
I think, and he's only done that. That was the only time he showed up. So
well, he showed up when you didn't come one time. Also.
Okay. So like, I think Corey historically, I mean, Corey's a force.
That's a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he's still forceful. I think Andrew's been pretty good. I honestly think I do pretty well. I'm always generally in the final because I the positive energy that comes into my body on All Star Saturday is very strong. What's fun about Shooting Stars always is that you never know who's gonna win, and like that's what makes it such a fun game. Is that like
I agree.
It this Saturday was a good representation of that. That all the scores were close. Like you guys had one bad round, it wasn't even that bad, but like that was enough to put you guys out basically, and everyone else was within a few seconds.
The only ones over 2 minutes for a round. Yeah.
Yep. I think Shooting Stars was a winner of All Star Saturday. I think the biggest loser of All Star Saturday was Jaylen Brown. Obviously, I think like of our group, no one was a big loser.
That
you know.
Was rough. Yeah.
I think Dominique Wilkins is probably a big loser. I think they're finally going to retire him off the dunk panel.
Dunk contest, judges, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd say Hoboken showing some spryness.
Well, both of us, you and I, who are the top advocates of All Star Saturday, probably, both felt that it needed to make a return to Hoboken. We kind of like not drunkenly, but post party last year discussed that we felt needed to return to the urban environment, and it served us well.
Yeah, no, it's something about, I think, you know, I'm a big believer in like compactness creates a lot of energy. You know, you kind of need to like have people on top of each other. We went dominoes, a nice classic, the draft came early this year. Yeah, so I think it was a very solid day all around. I was pleased with All-Star's performance. So yeah.
I think we're only going to take it up a notch for Chris and the Noise. I'm very excited.
That'll be interesting. I don't know what's up from that day, but you know, I'm along for the ride. Happy to take what Hoboken gives to me. Probably the last time I ever go out in that area.
Ever?
I don't know what else is happening in Hoboken that would take me to an establishment. I don't know. I have to go to House of Q or something for like dueling pianos, maybe. But I don't know.
That's
hard to imagine.
Yep.
We'll see. Yep. I don't know. I haven't seen Kristen in a long time. I guess what the last time I saw Kristen was your bachelor party. That was
2017. Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine her voice might have changed a little bit. You know?
No, she still got it, man. She still got it.
When did you last see her?
Last summer.
Oh, yeah. Was that at the beach that day or whatever?
She was in. She was at Red Bank.
Okay. Yeah.
I saw her 2 summers ago at in Point Pleasant, which was like, I think that they don't. They didn't go to that venue last summer, but like, you remember the Jenkinsons where they bring us on like camp trips, like camp day trips, like the pavilion where you like eat lunch?
Me.
No? Never mind then. But basically they turn that pavilion into like a nightclub at night. And like in between sets, they let people go on the beach, which is fucking awesome. So that was really cool. But yeah, Red Bank was pretty cool too. Now that Scott was in Middletown, I imagine we'll go there. The summer when she's there. I actually think she's in Red Bank maybe this weekend, or she was there last weekend, or basically my mom, I think I probably mentioned this last time when I went down there for Kristen, but like my mom has a friend in her development whose daughter went to Delaware and is a big Kristen, like a much bigger Kristen nerd than I am. Like the band knows who she is and her friends. She's like 39 and unmarried, and she is pretty lame, and like my mom's friend was like, oh, is your son going to the show? And I know my mom's telling the girl. She's like, oh, is your son going to the one in Red Bank? She's like, no, he's going in Hoboken. She's like, oh, I wouldn't go to that. It starts at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, wow. we're the real ones, man. You know? That's the real one. Are you going to, you'll probably never go out to Hoboken like starting at 10 o'clock ever again after this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like pregame hours in Delaware right there. Yeah, I mean, Delaware bars close at 1. You know, you got to get out there by, you know, 10:30, or else your night's gonna be done by the time you get to the establishment inside from the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be exciting, man. Like, where are we gonna go for post game food? We're gonna go to, you know, Facilities. We're gonna go to Artichoke Pizza. Yeah, McDonald's a good choice.
That could be the pregame food. Yeah, we'll see. It's kind of a walkover, maybe.
I think Amy and I are gonna go to La Isla because obviously it's been a while since we got to La Isla downtown. And we'll then we'll go meet up with everyone in pregame and stuff. I know there's some push for dueling pianos. I personally would not rush into that since the music is going to...
Who's pushing you then?
No comment. we'll talk offline.
Okay. All right. Very well. I didn't realize there was that much planning going on here. Okay. Interesting.
I'm already in trouble for just saying what I just said, so I'm going to get a text message after this. So.
Yeah. Okay. I see. Understood. Well, you know,
but Justin, I'm excited to see you guys and to drink with you guys and to dance with you guys. It's gonna be so much fun. And I mean that wholeheartedly.
You know, it didn't sound that wholehearted.
I do mean it. It's gonna be fun.
I'm sure it'll be a nice.
Who else is coming? They're coming. Andrew and Sarah are coming, right? You're coming. We still gotta convince Leanna to come.
I think Levy.
Levy's coming. Two of Amy's friends are coming. Her friend Jill and her boyfriend is coming, or I guess new boyfriend, and her friend Jenny, who has John tried? Is John coming?
I don't know.
I'll check in with him. We'll make sure he comes. I think John has maybe either hooked up with or attempted to hook up with both Jenny and Jill. I think attempted and failed in both cases, actually, now that I think about it. Jenny, he was trying to
hook up with them directly.
Jenny, he was trying to hook up with, but Silver's hooked up with her instead. That was like some club after Allie's birthday 1 year. And then Jill, I think he creeped her out in the bathroom or something like that. He creeped her out at a bar, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I think that's the story. Yeah. So they'll both be there with their boyfriend and husband, respectively. I gotta get John to come out. Anyone else we're missing that's in the New York area?
Scott showing up.
So Scott and Allie are coming up. They're not staying over, but they're coming up. Yeah, so should be good. Should be good.
I think Garrett's officially out. He's trying to stay healthy for the Japan. So
I get it. Do I like it? No, but I get it.
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
A little upset. Duran has to go to work. He has to go to South by Southwest for work. So he won't be there. He's quite the big Kristen fan as well, obviously, too. So now what are you going to do?
It should be a good time. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. See what she's got. So should we end this with Parent Corner? What do you got for me this week?
Parent Corner. Things are good right now. You know, I think we're past the 4 month mark. Like I said, we're starting to, the crib has been built. He's napped in the crib. I think we're getting closer to coming out of, crossing that corner from the bedroom to his room for a night.
It's a big 5 feet for him to travel, for sure.
I know. Yeah. He's starting to roll a little bit, kind of. I don't know. It's all's well. I don't think I have any significant parents' stories to highlight. I mean, I think that's the issue why Leanna won't come, because, I don't think we're ready to have him go elsewhere yet for a night. Oh, there she is.
Hi, Leanna. With
the stroller. She can't hear you, but how'd it go? Did we get the global entry? Yes. All right, we're in. Stanton was there? Oh, yeah, they were on podcast at the moment. The guy, global entry guy, is scary. He's running a very strict ship.
My memory from it was like we walked in there, we said they call our names.
Yeah, here, love me. All right.
We can vaguely hear her in the background. Hey everyone, just want to let you know that the audio cut off as Ira rudely took out his AirPods and ended the podcast unintentionally. So sorry for the abrupt end, but you get what you get sometimes. So hope you enjoyed the pod.